Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. Trust that we're coming through loud and clear right now on this broadcast. I hope we are. We're changing up the audio just a little bit. So here we go. We're going to get into it today. I've got a word. It's more of a prophetic teaching because I believe that it has a lot to do with where we are today. And before we get into that message, I want to welcome everybody on Blog Talk Radio, on Omega Radio, on YouTube, and on Facebook. We're so glad that you're with us today. God bless you on this Thursday morning. The snow is still hanging around here. I know there was a massive snowstorm that just went to the northeast. And I think today the kids are probably building snowmans. What do you think? Probably so. So anyways, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning. And I want to get ready for where we're going. And I want to preface what we're going to talk about today with some scripture to lay the foundation of why we're going to be talking about what we are going to be talking about. And then we'll proceed with what I would call, in all sincerity, well, a prophetic teaching. Or in other words, a teaching from the Word of God that reveals what will come. And perhaps not only what will come, but what we're in right now. And I think if we look through a biblical lens, we will be able to see things more clearly. We will not be driven by the wind of doctrine or the cunning of men that lie in wait to, you know, bring us into a snare. I believe with all my heart that God has spoken and God has a word. So as we get ourselves moving here this morning and getting ready for an incredible day, we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise God. We trust the Lord. You know, if there was a word I would share with you this morning, wherever you are, it would be the word trust. I've been reading my Bible for 38 years. I've been on this earth for almost 58 years. And trust is one of the main ingredients to life, isn't it? Without trust, without trusting God, without trusting that He is in control, without trusting that He is allowing everything to transpire in our lives, without trusting Him, life could be a pretty difficult thing. You're just kind of hanging on the edge all the time. But I was going back in my own personal life the last couple of days thinking about all the things that God had brought me through even before I was a Christian, even before at the age of 19, accepting Jesus Christ or asking Him to come into my heart and receiving Him into my heart. Those years prior to that, going through the things that we did, I mean, we're talking 15 elementary schools, 7 different high schools, moving all over the country. And, you know, that's just the beginning of the story. But I was thinking how at every single point in my life, even as a little boy, that God was with me, that God had made sure that really bad stuff didn't happen. And at the age of 19, giving my life to Jesus Christ, understanding the power of God and understanding this intimacy, this relationship the Father wants to have with us, and inviting him into my life, the last 38 years of walking with the Lord and learning to walk with the Lord, walking with our Heavenly Father, it's just at every point, he's always done what is best for his son. And I'm convinced that as you and I trust the Lord in every area of our life, not only are we going to settle down and be at rest and be at peace with the way things go, but we're just going to be able to journey with greater joy, with greater passion, because as we're living unto the Lord, as we're living our lives as unto the Lord, we're not just, you know, going with the flow of humanity. We're actually like salmon going upstream. I mean, you know, and I know as Christians, we're going against the flow of this world. Our human nature is we're going against it. I mean, we're not just allowing human nature to take over our lives and do what it wants to do. There was a time when we had no resistance to our own human nature. We were human. We were sinners. That's what we did. That's who we were. And yet when God came into our lives, this supernatural force entered into us, not a bunch of rules and regulations and obligations and legal, you know, ties. When we came to Jesus, we met with a force greater than the law. We met with a force that was able to take us and plant within us and create within us a brand new nature. And we began to live out from that nature or yield to that nature. And then God gave us his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. And the power of the Holy Spirit is a divine force to go against nature, the nature of humanity, the nature of man. I mean, this is incredible stuff when you really stop and think about it, that you as a Christian are not walking in the deception, the delusion, the darkness of this world. You're not just out there on the wide road that is leading the multitudes into everlasting destruction. Jesus said there was a wide road, many there be that are on it, and it leads to destruction. You and I were once on that road, but we made a U-turn. We repented. We turned around and we followed Jesus. He took us off the wide road that's leading the multitudes into devastation and destruction. He brought us into a narrow pathway, but that narrow pathway is leading us into life. And we've been journeying upon that pathway. And I think in my heart, that is supernatural. That is a supernatural thing. I mean, think about human nature, how powerful human nature is. And we haven't even begun to see the restraint of that human nature moved. I believe that whatever has restrained it, whether it's the law, whether it is the archangel Michael restraining the demonic one who's going to come and really bring things to the next level, or whatever that is, right now human nature has been somewhat restrained. Can you imagine the time where human nature will have no restraint? I mean, there will be no government, no governor restraining that human nature, but that unregenerate beast nature, that fallen nature of humanity, is just every man doing what is right in his own eyes. There's no law. It's total lawlessness. And yet you and I, even though the laws of man will be saying, you can do anything you want, we're going to find that the laws of God, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of liberty, the law of faith, all these laws, these spiritual laws of God are actually going to be working in us that, well, we're not going to do it. We're not going in the flow of human nature. We're not going to let it rip just because it's legal. We're not going to do things just because it's legal. We're not becoming homosexuals because it's legal. We're not becoming lesbians because it's legal. We're not going to kill our babies and have an abortion because it's legal. No, the laws of God have totally taken over our lives, and we are obeying God, we are yielding to God, we're living for God, and what we're learning while we're doing it is because we love God, and we know that God's laws are precious and beautiful, and we know that his ways are beyond finding out. And so as we follow the Lamb, as we follow Jesus, trusting him, man, there are some powerful forces. You may think in your life, man, operate in the power gifts. I don't have words of knowledge or wisdom or revelation. I don't lay hands on people and watch them come back to life, or, you know, I haven't cast out a demon, or, you know, gee, what's wrong with me? Listen, if you have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've walked upon the narrow pathway and you're going against the flow of nature, there is nothing more powerful than to walk contrary to the world. And remember, it's the world, the flesh, and the devil that we are overcoming. And you and I are walking contrary to that. That makes you a vessel of God's divine glory and power, because greater is he that is in work in you than he that is in the world. I mean, just think about the transition. To me, that's phenomenal. And I just want to high five you out there today who are trusting the Lord and who are experiencing God's power daily in your life, keeping you. And so you get into these scriptures in Peter and John where they say, well, the people are going to think it's very strange you don't run with them to the same excess and rioting. Well, we don't do it because we love the Lord, and we've been there. We've tasted it. It's not good. Walking in the flesh is always the same result: death. Everybody dies. It's death. The pleasures of sin are for a season, but the end result is always the same bitter taste of death. And anybody that's walked in the flesh, walked according to the world, walked according to demonic spirit, you may have been entertained by demons, but it's like crystal methamphetamine. Think about it. People take it, they get this really big high, but before you know it, they get hooked, and before you know it, they've lost their teeth, they've lost their family, they lost their job, they've lost their looks, they've lost everything because of a stupid drug that appealed to them at the beginning. Sin is the same way. Alcohol is the same way. Oh, it's all the same way. Sin is only pleasurable for a season. And the minor suffering right now that we experience by going against the flow of our human nature, taking up our cross, following Jesus, the minor suffering that we experience for not entertaining demons, the minor suffering for not participating in the world, is only for a moment. It is a brief moment of minor suffering so that we might continue on the narrow pathway and enter into eternal life. And then that narrow pathway opens up into the vistas of God's grace and glory and the abundance of God's everlasting kingdom. So our little, what does it, Paul call it, our light affliction that is but for a moment is working for us an eternal and exceeding weight of glory. So these minor afflictions in Romans chapter 8, again, that the present sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so, again, we have to keep that mindset and just remember today that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what this word that we're going to share in a moment, whatever it is, if what it's intended to do, if you or I are out of balance with the Lord, if we're out of step with the Lord, if we're lingering on the line of obscurity, if we're one foot in, one foot out, we're a little lukewarm, we're a bit compromised, if we're not solidly serving the Lord, this word is intended not to condemn, but to open us up to the reality, whoa, I've drifted far away. I've got to get back to the Lord before these things happen, because it's God's word. It's not the word of a man. And so we're going to talk about this today. But I wanted to lay the foundation, number one, about trust. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will bring it to pass. Trust him today. If you've been out of the way, if you've been backslidden, if you've been far away from the Lord, if you found yourself, you know, surrounded and you're tormented and you're trapped and in fear and you did something, today is the day to walk out of that darkness and that prison and walk into the light and the love and the glory and the compassion of Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage someone out there today, man, this journey is not an easy journey. It is fraught with danger and discomfort. But he who endures to the end shall meet with a glorious destiny. Don't ever forget that. No one said following Jesus against the flow of the world, the flesh, and the devil was going to be easy. And it requires not your strength or my strength. It requires the strength of God Almighty. And that's why you need to make sure that God is at work in your life, that you have a real relationship with God, and not be obscure about it. The way you know that you have a genuine relationship with God is by embracing his son, Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Jesus Christ died for you. He is the Son of God. He is the express image of God. He is the express exact likeness and image of God. That's how you know that you're following the true God, not the God of Islam or not the God, you know, of Judaism alone, because the, you know, well, that's another story. Just know that Jesus Christ, he who receives the Son receives the Father. He who receives the Son receives the Father. The New Age have their God. It's the cosmic, whatever it is, right? They have their God. But that's not your God. You know, you don't, Jesus Christ is not on the same platform with anybody else. Nobody stands on the platform with Jesus Christ. Nobody. No philosopher, no judge, no king, nobody. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, he's the one that died for you and I. He's the one that loves you and I. He's the one that poured out the grace. He's the one that showed mercy. He's the one that loves us. And when we come to Jesus Christ, he's bringing us to the Father. We don't go to the Father on our own. There's no way to the Father but through the Son. And if we don't receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the true Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Scriptures, if we don't come through him, there's no reconciliation to the Father. We could say we have a relationship with God all we want. We could God bless America all we want. But if we're not going through Jesus Christ and he's not bringing us to the true Father, well, now we're in religion. We're in deception. We're in lying spirits. We don't need that. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He's the only one that can reconcile your life to God. But my goodness, when he does, when you come and receive him by faith, when you believe that Jesus Christ did it for you, you're not working it out anymore in that sense. He's taken you to the Father. Now you're in the house, and now you're being trained up to be a son and a daughter in the house of God, growing up into Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of your life and to bring transformation and change. Last time I checked, when we came into the kingdom, we were miserable, busted, broken, disgusted. We were cranky. We were evil. We were wicked. We were angry. We were mad. We were, fictitious. We were fake. We were hypocrites. We were frauds. We were blind. We were aimless in any pursuit. We didn't come into the kingdom with all of our stuff. You may say, well, wait a second. I had a degree as a law degree or some other degree, and I went to the finest college. You are still bankrupt of eternal life. There's no doubt about it. All those platitudes of the world, you die with 10 billion platitudes that the world could give you, but without faith in Jesus Christ, you're eternally dead. So we can't go there. But the last time I checked, when we came to Christ and received the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, agape, unconditional love came into our hearts. Peace came into our hearts. Joy came into our hearts. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I mean, all these attributes and qualities that were not our own, they were not part of our human flesh nature. We didn't have it. There was no good thing in us. But when we accepted Jesus Christ and he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit brought all the attributes of God that were realized in Christ and planted that seed in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is producing and overseeing our lives personally. To me, that's awesome. I mean, that's all about transformation. And I'm all about transformation, regardless what's going on in the world. But there are things that have to be said to keep you and I focused, aware, watchful, and one of the most important places to be watching, you know what I'm going to say right now, is your own heart. You must be watching your conduct. You know what? There's a period of time that God gave us parents, and our parents observed us, and whatever their conduct was, you know, we grew up being observed. We went to schools, and our teachers observed us. We went to some sporting outfit or campsite or whatever. We've been under observation for a long time. And you know, when we come to faith in God, we are also under observation by the Father, by his Spirit, by the Lord Jesus Christ. But God tells you and I to examine ourselves. God encourages us to look into the mirror of his word and to judge ourselves so that we will not be judged. And so today we're going to do that. We're going to let this word enter in. Will you do that today? Will you let the word of God that we're about to share, the prophetic teaching that I believe personally is going to clarify where we are today, will you let it enter into your heart, into your mind? And don't sit back and say, oh, that's the Old Testament. That's judgmental. That's legalism. Because I'm not coming from there, I promise you. And as a matter of fact, I want to begin to lay some foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to listen carefully to these words of the Apostle Paul. He said, moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses. So Paul is referring to the time going through the Red Sea where the children of Israel were baptized unto Moses while that experience was going on. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of what happened in the past. He said, and they did all eat the same spiritual drink. They did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, you have to stop for a moment. Why is Paul telling us this? Why is Paul telling the church at Corinth? And that was, that, you know, the church at Corinth, when you study their background, that would be like the church in Las Vegas, Nevada. I mean, everything goes. Their society was just filled with everything you could imagine. The Corinthian church were not a bunch of holier-than-thou people, right? But he's writing to those who came to faith in Christ and believe in Jesus, and he's explaining to them, he's saying, listen, this is what happened in the past when Moses was in control and the people that went out to him, the fathers, the, you know, the children of Israel. And he's telling us, well, you know, God was not well pleased with them. Even though the rock was there, they had spiritual meat, they had spiritual drink, they followed that spiritual rock, Jesus Christ followed them, Christ followed them. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things, listen to what Paul says. These things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So Paul's taking an Old Testament reality. He's bringing it to the mind of the New Testament believers, and he's showing them how God dealt with the children of Israel and what happened to them in their journey. They were overthrown. Okay, you and I are walking through a winter wonderland or a wilderness, right? And we don't want to be overthrown. And Paul's telling the church at Corinth, the ecclesia there, that these things that happened in the past were examples that we should not do what they did. In verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000 people. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now listen to verse 11. I'm just laying foundation. Just laying foundation to the word we're going to share in just a moment, having to do with everything going on in our country right now and around the world. Paul now says, all these things that he was talking about that happened to them, happened unto them for end samples. In other words, for a pattern to show you this is how God works. Here's the pattern. So it happened unto them for end samples And they are written, those things of the past, for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, what that simply is saying is that just because we're under the new covenant does not give us a license to go and do the sinful acts of the flesh. And we've been saying that from the beginning. The law of Moses cannot restrain the flesh nature. They were had the law. All those Israelis, they had the law, but they were not restrained by the law. They had these things. If they kept the law externally, it was still in their human nature. There was no restraint. There was no strength against the human nature. Now, in the new covenant, we have something they didn't have. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, the restrainer in our lives, the ability to change and not only externally with human effort fight off the temptation, but inwardly to not only fight off and overcome the temptation, but to change and cleanse that area of our soul, to literally wash our soul, to die to that flesh nature, to not allow that flesh nature, that appetite, to have its way. I mean, this is powerful. This is the strength of the gospel. Anybody that thinks the gospel is weak, they are not thinking properly. The strength and the power of God is revealed in his ability to inwardly transform a life and give strength and power over inward temptation, not just external things. Okay? So Paul just said that there was a pattern and an example that the new covenant believers were not supposed to follow. And he said the things that were written back there were written for our admonition, our learning. Think about that. We in the new covenant learn from the events that happen in the Old Testament. That's why, as a new covenant believer, that I do not believe we're under the law of Moses at all, but I do believe everything that was written in the Old Testament teaches us about God, about what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, how God deals with nations, how God deals with people. And I believe that God did not change. I believe the covenants have changed, that we are under the spirit of grace and truth with the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe we're under a brand new covenant. I believe that the instructions in the New Testament are what we are to be following, but we are also to be learning from the Old Testament. So I never throw the baby out with the bathwater. I never do that. I love everything from Genesis to Revelation. I study the Word of God. I just do not allow myself to come under the condemnation, the guilt, the shame of the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law was not for me. The Mosaic Law was for the Jewish people in that time, at that place, and the Bible is very clear. It was to bring them to Christ. And once they came to Christ, they were no longer under a schoolmaster. So I conclude and have concluded the Word of God is very clear and plain to this, but I do not neglect or reject the scriptures that teach us before Moses ever existed. What I'm going to read to you was something that is important to us, but there's just so much to learn, okay? So I'm just going to leave it at that. But I do want to turn to the book of Jude, And I want to share just one more bit of information before we move on. So in the book of Jude, we read these words, and I'll start in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. I love that, don't you? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God in our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Now here we are, Jude communicating a message to new covenant believers. He said, I'm going to put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that's what we were just talking about in 1 Corinthians, afterward destroyed them. that believed not. Did you hear that? Why would Jude want a new covenant believer to know that? Why would Jude want to tell us that God saved a people and then destroyed them because of their lack of faith and their unbelief? Why would he tell us that? Well, verse 6 says, the angels, he wanted to remind us about the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. So he's wanting to remind us what he did to the angels that sinned against him. And then in verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and they did, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, wait a second. Sodom and Gomorrah existed before the law of Moses, okay? Sodom and Gomorrah was way before that. There was no law of Moses when they were coming through the Red Sea. There was no law of Moses when the angels sinned, okay? So sin has been around a very long time. But here, the Sodom and Gomorrah reality that happened, he said, was set forth for an example, suffering. Now, when something is set as an example, what is he saying? He's saying, well, if God did this to Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to do it to you. Let me read out of 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll just pick it up in verse 1. Or let's go to verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample. Here is a little bit different than example. This is an ensample. An ensample is a pattern. Okay, so we have an example, but now we also have a pattern of how things work. So God made them a pattern unto those that after should live ungodly. Well, what do we hear? We add something here, the days of Noah. There was no Mosaic law in the days of Noah, and yet God destroyed the whole world with a flood. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Why do Peter and Jude and Paul, these incredible apostles, why do they share this information with the new covenant believers? If the new covenant is what we've been told, we believe in Jesus, no matter what we do, we're going to heaven because we believe. Well, wait a second. That's not what's being communicated by the apostles. What's being communicated by the apostles is learn from their mistakes. Don't do what they did. If you do what they did, even though you're under a New Testament, you're still going to be destroyed. You're not going to be saved. You're not going to heaven. Now, this should put the fear of God in people, wouldn't you think? And unfortunately, some people come alongside and say, well, let's cut those scriptures out and get rid of them. Let's not talk about them because we're under a new covenant of grace and mercy, and we get that. We don't have guilt, shame, and condemnation. We get that too. But what's wrong is that they say, well, we could go and sin, and it's okay. And the sin referred to is not breaking the law of Moses. The sin referred to are the sins of the flesh. Somehow we're being told that we could walk in the flesh, and yet Paul writes in Galatians what? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You sow to the flesh, you shall die. You live after the flesh, you shall die. How many scriptures do we need to bring up? He says in Galatians chapter 5, you know that. He says here's the works of the flesh and the Holy Spirit works. Whichever you yield to, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven in the works of the flesh. So what is this saying? See, to me, that should be a sobriety check. We should be sober and asking ourselves, am I operating in the flesh? You know, let me just say it. I want to say it the proper way. I don't want to just throw things out there for those that may be really tuned in right now, listening to what's being said in preparation for the prophetic word that's coming. And Galatians chapter 5, let's just go to verse 19. Well, let's go to 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would in your flesh. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he gives this whole list of fleshly works. And I'll just read a few of them. He says the works of the flesh are clear, manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, lasciviousness, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He goes into all these attitudes. He said, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which practice this kind of a lifestyle in the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, to me, I don't reject that. It puts the fear of God in me. How about you? But I don't feel like I'm under some legalism. I don't feel like that word put the law on me. No, I feel like that's God's holy word. That is instruction. So what it does is it provokes in me to say, I don't want to live after the flesh. I want to change, and I can't change myself, so God help me. What does he do? He gives me the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Come on. So I just want the Holy Spirit to effect a change in my inward parts so that I could live according to the fruit of the Spirit, and I don't have a law against me. And God's word is not contrary to me. He's already condemned my flesh. All flesh nature is condemned. The only way to escape the judgment is to be born again, to get the Holy Spirit in your life and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you into righteousness and truth. And it's not your human effort. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work. It's a supernatural work of God. And it's absolutely amazing that God could take people like us that are so weak in our flesh and create something where we are now going against the flow and we're standing in the midst of the storm. And believe me, if God could do it in me and 10,000 of you, he could do it in anybody. It's all about the Holy Spirit power. You need that. Now, I've got to move on. Been chatting here for a while. And I want to share with you a prophetic word now. It's a teaching. And this message has been prepared for quite some time, and it's pretty intense, and it goes rather deep, and so we're going to have to spend some moments doing it, okay? And before I go on this morning, I want to say good morning to our friends that are out there. Let me just say good morning to everybody on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening in at 818-369-0326. Let me say good morning to Melissa Fletcher. Good morning, Melissa. Dean Smith, you're with us today. Good morning, Dean. Barbara Dixon, good morning from Northeast Georgia. God bless you from Northeast Georgia, Barbara. Laquita, good morning to you, sister. Dean says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. And then we have Callie is with us this morning. Good morning, Callie. Cindy is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Cindy. Wendy Bredesen, good morning from Canada. Welcome all the way from Canada. God bless and keep everyone here. Thank you for the blessing, Wendy. We appreciate that. And that so does everybody else. And then we have Jim Miller. So very good teachings for sure. Right on target indeed. Thank you, Jim. God bless you, sir. Wendy says, thank you, Pastor. We will be in the world, but not of the world. Edify each other in love. I agree. Sarah, good morning, Sarah, all the way from San Diego, California. Ugh, she says, the cost of healthcare is ridiculous. For a lot of people, it's the largest bill. Okay. This is exactly what people struggle with, that constant pressure of feeling like you have to measure up And if you slip, you will go to hell. It's exhausting. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, and I know you know this, we're talking about the grace of God, that a righteous man will fall seven times and the right hand of the Lord will lift him up. We have grace and mercy at work and forgiveness at work, but it's not intended to allow us to willfully participate in what is evil. I think we're clear on that. All right. So, Roderman, good morning. Preach it. You got it. Lori and Ray, we love you both. God bless you. And my dear sister from New York, Gayla Lawrence, good morning and God bless you. And God bless you as well, Gayla, and all of our friends out there. Let's ready ourselves now to get into this message. I've been holding it back for a while because, quite frankly, I thought it was a little bit too harsh. I thought, you know, this, if this is not presented properly, it could be taken in a manner that will not produce good fruit. And yet I'm doing what God said to do in his word. I'm studying, I'm searching, I'm reading the scriptures, I'm going back and learning about how God deals with people and nations, and thanking him for the grace that he applies and the Holy Spirit to live that pleases him, the way it pleases him, okay? And so this I wrote, and it's going to take a good 45 minutes. It begins with a what I would call a prophecy, okay? And I'm so careful about that today. Everybody's throwing out prophecies. Wrote this a long time ago, and I think it's relevant right now. Now is the time for first things and great things. It will be an exceptional time for the uncompromisingly righteous elect in the earth. I want you to note that. Exceptional time for the uncompromisingly righteous elect in the earth. While it will prove to be a time of great devastation for people who have rejected the good news of Jesus Christ, a new cycle of punishments is upon America. The national patriotic movement will be swept away. American patriotism will be flushed out of the system, as people will not be able to stomach the hypocrisy anymore. Folks, I wrote this way back around 2008. I'll get you the exact date on it. And I was thinking about how American patriotism is rising and all these factions and forces are rising. And when I came across this, I realized, and I've been saying it, patriotism in and of itself is not going to be strong enough to deal with the issues in our country. Patriotism will grow, it'll zenith out, it'll come to extreme power, and it'll do its thing, but it can't win in and of itself. Okay, just remember, patriotism is not going to win this battle. There will be a wave of new and upgraded terrorism come to the shores of America. Remember, we're writing back in 2008. We're talking 12 years ago. A wave of new and upgraded terrorism will come to the shores of America with a new strain of virus that will take the lives of many. Can someone say COVID-19? Supposedly. Prophecies concerning multitudes of people dying have been stayed for a time so that some would repent and be saved. This new virus will take the lives of many as older prophetic words will be fulfilled. This plague will strike both the righteous and the wicked. And we're seeing that. People are getting COVID-19 diagnosis. They're living, dying, whatever this whole thing is about. There are people who have received the righteousness of Christ, who will be killed by what is being released during the next cycle of punishments. The first plague that will be released will kill the righteous and the wicked together. Now, when I take this and I realize that the new cycle that is being spoken of began with the four waves that we talked about going back in March, we saw the first wave as coronavirus. And whether it was true or not, what it accomplished. We said the second wave would be anarchy and civil disobedience. We said the third wave would be the sword of war, and the fourth wave would be lights out. And so this, the first plague, which I believe is referring to coronavirus in this phase of judgment, will be released, will kill the righteous and the wicked together. The good news for those who have received Christ into their hearts is that they will awaken to an eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Here, we are not speaking of the compromised, lukewarm, or apostate believers, but those who have been working out their salvation with fear and trembling. You know, again, it doesn't matter what condition you're in right now. The question is, are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you working things out? Are you employing the word? Are you reaching out for prayer? Are you asking for help? Are you working out your salvation? I don't care how big your struggle is. I don't care how many times you fall in addiction or patterns. They are not easily broken. But if you in your heart are crying out to God and looking for help, you will find it. I guarantee you that you will get the help you need. But there are people that are just toying and taking lightly such a great salvation. You have to admit sometimes that's true. So the uncompromisingly righteous shall surely shine forth like the stars of heaven during this very dark time. This will be the point of release for exploits to be accomplished through this remnant company of believers who have learned how to live their lives in Christ. The wave of calamity, wrote this in 2008, the wave of calamity will come. It will stretch from north to south. The northern parts of the United States will feel the same impact as the southern part of the United States. Coronavirus is hitting everywhere, from the west, the east, the north, the south. Violence will be released. Okay, we saw that in anarchy and civil disobedience. The sword has been unsheathed, and it will find its prey scattered throughout the United States and the rest of the world. Man, it sounds impossible that 12 years ago these words are lining up perfectly what this season has been all about. But it's God, it's the Holy Spirit, it's not man. He went on to say, we will begin to see what has been held off during the first cycle of punishments. A wave of terrorism will strike in several different places as terror cell groups are activated. They will strike with ease as though no one was watching, no one was ready, and no one was stopping them. I just witnessed that with my own eyes when I saw Antifa carrying the colors of Islam in their rioting during the summertime. I saw BLM, Antifa. These are designated as terrorist organizations. They were carrying the Middle Eastern flag of Islam. Not all, but it was there. And yet these terror groups are walking and nobody stopped them. Nobody did anything. They let them do what they wanted to. Another fulfillment of a prophecy. Many will find themselves unable to contend with the enemy, for they know it not, but they are fighting against the Holy One, the Most High God. Truly, it is not flesh and blood, but the principality of God's righteous judgment that will strike the nation with a blow. Very important. We're not just fighting Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Proud Boys, Oath Keeper. We're not just fighting the left, the progressives. We're not just fighting the Barack Obamas of our day, the legislators, the lawmakers that promote evil. We're not fighting them. It's not that. What the fight is really about, what's going on in America, according to this promise, and what we're going to see in the Word in just a moment, is God's righteous judgment. And if we are balking at that, or we are hesitating to consider that everything going on right now is the righteous judgment of God upon a nation that has offended him during the past 60 years, that we have just flaunted our wickedness before his eyes and dared him and challenged him to do anything about it and are still living in that manner. Well, if we refuse to see that God is allowing his righteous judgment to come upon a nation, that righteous judgment is showing up in the division. A house divided cannot stand. America is going to fail. It's going to fall. It's going to collapse. What side of the collapse you and I are on is to be determined. Where we land in the collapse, where things fall in the collapse, is something else to be talked about. But what is going on, what must be considered by every true believer, is that what's happening in America is her day of accountability has come. Her day of accountability has come. All the shenanigans, all the schemes, all the wickedness that has been perpetrated against God and upon the people of this nation is now being confronted, and God is allowing judgment. The word judgment just means crises, for goodness sake. And if you don't think we're in a crisis, then what are we in? We are in a global crisis, but we are in a national crisis, and it's being felt everywhere at the same time. And to just look at the news media and say, well, what are we fighting? It's flesh and blood. No, God's telling us you're dealing now with judgment. So if you have been an obedient son and daughter of God and you love the Lord and you're honoring God with the way you're living your life, man, this will be, an exceptional time for you. You should not be getting caught up in these judgments. If you love God and you're part of the elect remnant of God, you're an overcomer and you're working it out and you're being honest, you should trust the Lord right now that he's got exploits for you to do. You're about to be employed into kingdom business. You're going to be leaving your fishing nets. You're going to be walking away from your tax collector job. This is the time where the Lord is calling laborers into his field. I mean, this is an exceptional time for you to do exploits, not to be afraid of what we're saying. This is for the disobedient, the lukewarm, the compromised. This is not for people that are struggling and fighting to get it right. Again, it doesn't matter how deep your ditch is. There is a Savior that could save the uttermost. There is a hand of God that is willing to stretch itself out and embrace you and take you up and out of that ditch that you are in, that prison, that darkness, that addiction. Whatever it is, there is a salvation for you. So if you're working it out, you're calling on the Lord, man, it's coming, but the sound of lamentation will be heard in America. The voice of joy and laughter will be taken from the land, and the voice of wailing will be heard in the streets. People will awaken to disasters so fierce that they will not be able to handle the pressure. That's already beginning to happen. Okay, balance. What side of the day are you on? If you're getting into fear, if you're getting into worry, if you're closing your ears, I don't want to hear that because the word of God's coming right now. We're going to go right into the scriptures. Okay, but I just wanted you to see the Holy Spirit in action years ago, writing things that are happening right now. The question in this word was, who then is that golden vessel that the Lord may pour himself into and out of? Who then is the man that God will choose to do his exploits in the earth during this very grave time? It is the man infested, the manifested sons of God. It is the one new man in the earth bringing the full weight of divine justice to the earth. Now, to me, I've always believed that the two witnesses, they strike the earth as often as they will, and they release plagues and all kinds of stuff like Elijah did and like Moses did. I believe that there is a company of believers that release judgments and plagues upon this earth. And I don't want to go into detail on that. I just read it in my Bible that in times past, there were prophets that called fire down out of heaven, that there were prophets that shut up the heavens, that it did not rain and it brought pestilence and famine. I read about these prophets, and the greatest of them, the least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than them, and that the two witnesses will do things in like manner. And so I believe this, that the one new man in the earth is going to bring the full weight of divine justice to the earth. Not everything that's going wrong is the devil made me do it or the devil's doing it. Sometimes there are people behind the scenes that are calling forth the justice of God, not the justice of man, because man has not been just towards God. But those who know God and see the injustice of man against God will always call for God's righteous justice to come into the earth. Now, It is the governmental body of Christ establishing kingdom authority all over the world. That's where you and I should be employed in our day-to-day business. The revelation of the two witnesses will be seen during this season. There it is. Surely the heavens shall not give their dew, nor the clouds their rain. There it is. Surely the earth shall be struck with one plague after another because of the intensity of the divine mission of the two witnesses. Who are they? Ah, it's a good study, isn't it? We'll have to check it out soon. Yet, in the midst of the struggle, the sound of heaven, we've been talking a lot about the sound of heaven, the sound of heaven shall resound throughout the whole earth. The sign of the Son of Man shall be seen in the heavens, and the many shall lift up their heads as their redemption is near to come. Even so now, the Spirit and the Bride are saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Now I want to get into the Bible study, the prophetic teaching. Okay, many years ago, it's relevant and it's happening right now. Let's see if we could look through this word with what we said earlier about 1 Corinthians, 2 Peter, chapter 2, Jude, all the examples and patterns, why we're permissible, why it's permissible to go back into these scriptures and learn from them, okay? We're going to begin in Leviticus 26, verse 14. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the scriptures, and then what I did was I simply wrote commentary as the Spirit was leading me at this time in my life. I want to read to you what I wrote. So verse 14, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and then I wrote, America has not hearkened to the Lord nor kept the commandments of the Lord for a long time. God has been speaking to America for over 40 years, back at the time of this writing, specifically since the abolition of prayer in the public schools and the disallowance of the Bible in the classroom. These two events led to the 60s movement, wherein drugs and sex and laziness saturated the nation. A great and strong delusion came into the nation through the drug epidemic. This epidemic and delusion has not ceased to exist since that time. The Lord spoke to the nation, but it refused to hear him. Now he is speaking the following words, not to the deaf and ignorant, but to all who have ears to hear, so that they may prepare. Verse 15, Leviticus 26, 15. And if you shall despise my statutes. Now, he was talking to Israel, okay? So we're going to kind of allow for him to be talking to the Judeo-Christian nation, America, okay? If you, America, shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, and then I write, America has despised the Lord's words and has even legalized those things which he hates, even unto this day. Bills like Senate Bill 777 and Assembly Bill 394, which were passed into law in January, reeking with blasphemy and arrogance, are two witnesses and signs against the lawmakers and legislators in California that they despise the Lord's statutes. Because of this blatant disregard for God's ways in America, the following shall come to pass. But what was Senate Bill 777 and Assembly Bill 394? We were living in California at the time, and we got involved with an organization from Sacramento, and we did everything in our power to stop this legislation, and it was all about the homosexual agenda. It was the beginning of the opening of the door of what finally happened in June of 2015, where the Supreme Court legalized homosexual marriages between men and men and women. But in this time, we were fighting, and we were passing out ballots and all kinds of stuff trying to stop this from happening just in California. Well, we failed. It didn't work. The people did not gather. It came to pass. But the legislators in California wanted this to happen. Again, we now move on to verse 16, Leviticus 26, 16. God says, because we despised his statutes, we abhorred his judgments, we did not keep his commandments, we broke the covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. So here is the first phase of the new phase of judgments, or we'll call this the first of the judgments that will come. This is the first. And what is it? There are several phases to this first decree. So verse 16 is a decree. Here's what I'm going to do to you, America, because of what you've done to me. I'm going to appoint terror over you, consumption, the burning ague, okay? During the last 7 years of the new millennium, America has fought against terrorism of whatever sort it is, but now the first phase of God's first decree to America of its total collapse will be the appointment of terrorism over her. The West Coast of the United States will suffer severe blows of terror-related incidents that will cripple it. I believe this is coming. A great disability to defend or gain control over the terror movement will become clear. The United States will become a nation of fear. Remember, it is God that has appointed the terror over the nation. And I would remind you that the groups we've seen marching in the last 8 or 9 months are designated terrorist organizations, but they are footmen. They are simply the pawns on the great board of chess. They are the footmen. The next phase, so the first phase of this particular judgment was terror. The next phase of this first decree is consumption. Consumption in the Hebrew means a wasting disease of the lungs. It comes from the root of a ceremonially unclean bird, a cuckoo, a gull, a seagull, a sea mew. You have just seen, and this was back in 2008, where the bird flu will come from. This amazing evidence of what is to take place against a nation who has turned its back on God. So there are strains of virus that are coming to the shores of America. Whether they call it bird flu, whether it comes from a bird, there's something that God said in judgment that consumption actually had to do with a lung wasting disease or a wasting disease of the lungs. That's going on in COVID-19 right now as well. The next phase of this first decree is the burning ague. In the Hebrew, burning ague means a burning fever. To kindle a fire, one of the associated things with COVID is the fever. I want you to see it. I want you to hear it. As you will note, the prophetic word that is written above that I just read to you, it is a virus, a plague that God said would be released in America. These phases of the first decree are speaking of sickness and disease that will hit and in many ways have already hit the nation. The effect of this consumption will be a consuming of the eyes, spiritual blindness, and sorrow of heart, depression. The nation will go into a time of deep blindness that will cause deep depression to rest at every level of human existence. We were just told during this time that more suicides were committed, and because depression hit the nation. Again, another fulfillment of this word. God will have his way. The fourth phase of this first decree is sowing your seed in vain. The spiritual and physical impact of this statement is so far-reaching. Physically speaking, there will be a famine, lack, drought, and the like due to the lack of production. We are seeing this already in the wheat market. Spiritually speaking, the prosperity gospel of gain will leave its supporters empty. They will sow their seed in vain, only enriching those who have fleeced them. But I also want you to know that all of the last several years of the work that was going on to build an economy in America, it was confronted, hear me out here, by coronavirus. Businesses were lost, thousands of them. The economy went through a change. Last night on the news, I had been reading to you last week about the millions of people that they are concerned about that are going to be evicted from their homes beginning in January. Remember, I read you the articles, and then they were also saying that food insecurity was coming. Last night on the news channel was a whole story about people that were in, I got to remember what state they were in right now. Well, they were coming, and they were in 2 mile long lines, 2 miles long, to get to where they needed to be, and then they waited 4 hours to get a box of food in their car. The people that were telling us about this went to the whole story confirming what I've been saying from the Prophecy News network that I was getting the information from, that starting in January, millions of people are going to move into food insecurity. It's happening already. And then people are going to get evicted from their homes that weren't paying rent all this time because all those things that were helping are being taken away. Just wanted you to know, again, this was prophesied to come. Now we move into Leviticus 26, 17. God says, "And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you." The fifth phase of this decree, of this first decree, okay, so each phase carries decrees. This is the phase that carries the decree, intensifies as God says he will set his face against America. This has already begun. The Lord is not smiling upon America. He has set his face against it. As his face is set against America, she will be slain before her enemies. This is gut-wrenching truth, dear saints, and all who read this or who are hearing it. Those who hate America will rule over her. Now, that is terrifying when we consider Joe Biden and Kamala Harris becoming the president of the United States and vice president of the United States, because they hate America for its morality and its republic and what it stands for. These people hate the independent, sovereign United States of America. They may say they love it, but you'll know a tree by their fruits. They want globalism. They hate the Christians in this country. They hate the Trump supporters. They want to bring Joe Biden is already appointing transgender people. I'm telling you, these people, this scares me. This bothers me right here, that this nation, those who rule over you, will hate the United States for what it really stands for. And that means the 75 million voters, don't expect an easy ride if this were to be fulfilled. This is a critical moment to stand in the gap, isn't it? How can this be? God is allowing it because of America's refusal to give God the glory and love him enough to honor his word rather than despise it. The final phase of this first decree is sad indeed. Spirits of suspicion, deception, and delusion will create an atmosphere of total fear, and men and women will flee when none pursues. Remember what God said in Thessalonians, "I will send a strong delusion that they will believe a lie." The overcomers, you don't have to flee. Those who hate America will not rule over your life. You have one commander in chief. You have one ruler. His name is Jesus. You've already figured that out. But what's coming upon the nation I believe this is very real. And we move on to verse 18. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I want you to notice the progressive judgment upon the nation of Israel for their rebellion, their disobedience against God. This is what's happening in America. There have been phases of judgment, and the decrees have brought about different judgments, hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, whatever they have been along the way. They're getting more intense now. The judgments are getting stronger now. And God says, if you will not, for all this, repent or hearken unto me, then I'll punish you 7 times more. Listen, here begins the second decree. After all these events, you would think the nation would repent for its sin against God. But rather than repenting, America has become more stout-hearted. So God says he will punish the nation 7 times more for your sins. If America thought the first 7 years of the new millennium were difficult, wait until the release of these righteous judgments of God. Recall what the angel said in Revelation after plagues had been poured out. And I refer to Revelation 16, 5, 6, and 7. I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which are and was and shall be, because you have judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The things that are happening in these scriptures are not the devil. He's only the tool in the hand of God. It's God's righteous judgment. Look at the world through the lens of Scripture and see and understand. And if you're standing on the right side of this moment, you're one of those overcomers, those remnant believers. Exceptional days lie ahead for you to be employed to do exploits in the kingdom of heaven upon this earth during this, the midst of all this. Verse 19, Leviticus 26, 19. And I will break the pride of your power. Do you think God can do it? And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. The first phase of the second decree is the breaking of America's pride because of her power. The power of America was the Lord God Almighty, but no more. She has put her trust in the arm of flesh, intellect, reason, diplomacy, and military might. The power of America shall be broken, and no man on earth will be able to prevent what God has decreed. The next phase of this second decree is the heaven becoming as iron and the earth as brass. There will be no prayers accepted during this time for divine intervention in America. I remember in 2003, God said, do not pray for this nation, but pray for the saints of God, that they will be able to navigate through the storm that lies ahead. Here, there will be no prayers accepted during this time for divine intervention in America. No rescuing. The decree shall go forth, and it will be accomplished upon a nation whose God has become her belly. There will be no good thing come to. There will be no good thing come from all the sowing of ideas and plots and plans. The earth shall not give her produce during this time. Don't turn away yet. Don't go anywhere yet. Hold on. We're just reading the Bible. Okay. Leviticus 26:20. Your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. Here the Lord is saying that every attempt to uphold America will fail. All the strength and energy being put into plans and concepts and ideas to keep the nation running will be in vain. The people of America will not bring forth the produce the politicians have been looking for. There will be no outflow from America. Leviticus 26:21. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. So first, the Lord said he would punish the nation for not allowing itself to be corrected. And here he says he will bring seven times more plagues according to your sins. Notice the righteous judgment that is being measured out against a nation who has turned its back on God, has murdered over 50 million babies at that time in the womb, sanctioned the homosexual agenda, and has defied the precepts and laws of the Almighty. The word plague here in 21 means calamities inflicted by God. It also speaks of wounds and stripes and beatings. At the root of this word, we find it to mean to strike. America is going to be struck with the fierceness and wrath of the Lord God Almighty. Why? Why would the leaders of America in the White House and all other systems of government, especially within churches in America, resist the Lord? Why would they refuse his justice and righteousness in exchange for that which is an abomination to him? It is because of the great deception from the powers of darkness who have confused the minds of men. It is because when light was available, men chose to play rather than pray. It is because when opportunity to bring the full weight of God's kingdom into the earth, men chose to have their own. Leviticus 26:22. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. The Apostle Paul fought with wild beasts in Ephesus, and they were not animals, but evil men. The wild beast can be found in the very beginning of God. We find Ishmael being called a wild man. There is no doubt that the wild man in the earth has a beast nature and is stalking the earth, seeking someone to devour. Make no mistake, the wild beasts are in America, and they are and have been devouring the children. The Lord says he is going to make America few in number. There is a plan to reduce the population worldwide and here in America. There are evil plots and plans that will be allowed to go forth and succeed in their destructive force, i.e. COVID-19, even though it's a hoax, right? Our highways will be desolate. America will find its roads and sources of travel annihilated. Now, before continuing on, I encourage you not to think that this is some kind of end time thriller to spark the imagination of great entertainment purposes. The events during the first 7 years in America were real, and what you are reading is God's word too, and these events are coming upon America. Leviticus 26:23, and if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then, verse 24, will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. This is the fourth decree in this passage of Scripture. The Lord said he was looking for a reformation, if you will not be reformed, within his people and within America. He said he wanted the nation to turn back to him, but America and much of the so-called church have refused to do so. The following are the final phases that will cause the total and complete collapse of America. Verse 25, I will bring a sword upon you. That's the third wave in our present phase, that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. The first phase of this fourth decree begins with a sword being released against the nation. This is war. The next passage of Scripture we will be looking at speaks more of this sword in detail. A great war will be fought on American soil during this time of great tribulation. This war will strike worldwide, not the final great tribulation, just this time that's coming. Okay, there's a final tribulation. We'll talk about that. This war will strike worldwide in an upscaled way, but the brunt and force of the war will be right here. This war will avenge the quarrel of the Lord's covenant. This is divine retribution towards a people who have broken covenant with God. According to Scripture, God hates covenant breakers, whether they be individuals or nations. America has broken covenant and must now pay the price. Her reward is to drink the cup of abominations she has filled to the overflow. God will cleanse the nation through righteous judgment just before his return. The next phase to this fourth decree is the pestilence being sent as people are gathering together in their cities. Understand that as war breaks out in America, all the militia groups will come out into the open and cities will be rallying places. What the heck was I writing about in 2008? Militias gathering in cities. I heard January 4th, a couple of days from now, militia are going to be fully armed in different cities across the nation. Time will tell. But this says that they will come out and open and cities will be rallying places. Yet the Lord says, as Americans gather together, he will send the pestilence. The word pestilence in Hebrew means destruction and death. It also carries these definitions: cattle disease, murrain, cattle plague, but it means destruction and death. These definitions clearly speak of a time that food itself will cause death and destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not think in your heart that these things shall never be, for of a truth they have already begun. Prepare yourselves before God. Listen to this next phase. You shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. This is the unthinkable reality. Americans will become slaves to evil beasts. America will go into captivity before the return of the Lord. America is going to fall. You must come to grips with this fact. It is God's word. Leviticus 26:26. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. They shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. This is famine, pestilence, terror. Verse 27. And if you will not, for all this, hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me. Now the final decree is being issued, and the Lord strengthens himself in this matter. Verse 28. Then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. America does not know what it means for the Lord to walk contrary to it in fury. However, it is during this time that America will face an angry God. He will chastise America with the stripes of a criminal at this point. Leviticus 26:29, you shall eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. Oh my gosh. In 70 AD, Titus and his Roman army surrounded Jerusalem before taking the city. It was at that time, according to the historian Josephus, that the people had their food and water supply cut off. People were starving and doing everything they could to survive. Parents began to eat the flesh of their children. The boiling pots were filled with the flesh of human beings, along with shoelaces and leather. When God brings judgment against a nation that he stands against in fury, that nation will experience what it thought it never would. America will experience these horrible and terrible events because she chose to reject the Lord God Almighty and break his covenant. Now, if you're a believer and you're walking with the Lord, don't get afraid. Don't tune out. Hold on a second. Leviticus 26:30. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. Notice this phase of the final decree ends with the people's carcasses being cast upon their idols. America will not have a high place to resort to. There will be no White House. There will be no mega church buildings. There will be no theaters. Every high place will be destroyed. The bloody events that are about to take place in America are true and very real. But the worst thing of all is the final word of this decree: my soul shall abhor you. The word abhor in the Hebrew means to reject, loathe, be vilely cast away, to regard as impure and foul. Sad. Verse 31, I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. God is angry with his people and with this nation. The cities of America will be burned to the ground and destroyed through nuclear weapons. There will not be a sanctuary that has not been thrown down to the ground. There will be no offering accepted by the Lord during this time of great tribulation that will hit the whole earth. Verse 32. I will bring the land into desolation. Your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Even the enemies that are in the land at this time will be amazed at what they were able to accomplish. The weapons of destruction will have accomplished the Lord's will as the entire land of America lies desolate. Verse 33. And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. The people of America will be scattered everywhere. They will seek to hide, but a sword will seek them out. This will be a time like no other in the history of the world. Now let's move on to the next passage of scripture to speak concerning America, which I can't do right now because I'm running out of time. I'm going to save the second part for another day, but let me speak to you right now with you. If you have not yet awoken to how critical this moment is, if God allows what I just shared with you, which I believe was a prophetic biblical message, has God ever changed his mind before? Yes, he has. Can God change his mind again? Yes, he can. This moment is critical. And what is required in the first place is my and your heart connection to God. Because I'm going to say it again, it's so simple. If you are able to trust the Lord right now, really trust him, not a make-believe trust. If you in your heart have a relationship with your Father in heaven, this God who's able to do this stuff and has done it before, sets patterns and examples of what he'll do to anybody that does what they did. We've done worse than what they did. Believe me. You don't have to be afraid. If you have a genuine trust, it means you're on the right path. You will watch, but it shall not come nigh you. You shall observe, and you shall see, and you shall hear. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not touch your dwelling. No plague shall come nigh you. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If the Lord is your refuge, if the Lord is your strength, you don't have to fear these things. You've already walked through tons of judgment. It's just now increasing. The sword of war is about to strike. The lights will go out, and then another phase will come. The stage is being set. The word of God is proving true. But right after this broadcast, my wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, is at a roundtable discussion talking about how to prosper during famine. You need to listen to it. OmegaRadio.org. Right when we say goodbye here, you need to live with that, because God has a plan for his people to do exploits, an exceptional season. We don't want to see this happen to our country. I'm sure the Israeli people didn't want to see these things happen to Israel, but they did again and again. America is without excuse. The word of God will stand unless this entire nation repents. The division is a sign of judgment. It seems that there is no turning back. You're going to have to walk through this moment trusting God with all your heart. Everything that happens, you must trust God. The things you don't understand, the things you can't explain, the reasons why you can't go there. You have to abandon logic, reason. You need to walk in the Spirit, and you need to trust God with everything. It won't touch you. He will keep you. He will preserve you. And if you see friends pass, if you see things happen, trust the Lord. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than me. Trust him with all of your heart. Trust him. I have the next part of this. Tomorrow, I'm going to be interviewing Jacob. Jacob was confronted by communists. He and his family were supposed to have been killed, but he knew Jesus Christ. And he called on the name of the Lord. And God set him free, made a way where there was no way. He knows about this moment coming upon this earth. He sees it, standing in the gap, battling it out, wanting to see Trump win, get victorious, all of that. But we're looking through a biblical lens. But he knows, even when communism or Nazi Germany comes to power, God will be with his remnant. God will take care of his own people. This is a serious walk with God, isn't it? That interview with Jacob will be tomorrow on this broadcast. And if I get a chance to finish this up, I will. But for right now, I think we've had enough for one day, because now we need to shift into studying out what you just heard, consideration, prayer, saying, praise God, I have been saved by grace through faith. I'm walking with Jesus Christ. My house is blessed. My family is blessed. We are blessed people that love God, the people I worship with and fellowship with. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are highly favored. We're under a hedge. We're under protection. We're not afraid. We're going to do exploits. We're going to warn people. We're going to call people to repentance. We're going to check ourselves, make sure we're walking in truth and light. We walk in love and joy and peace. I can't imagine a better life than to walk in love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, see the favor and blessing of God upon our lives, his prosperity, his joy and his peace, all of it. We get it all. We have it all. We're not afraid. We're not biting our fingernails. We're not hiding out in caves. And we never will. We'll go into our arks. We'll go to where God has prepared. But our spiritual internal reality will never be afraid or fearful. You get under the right protection. You get under the right hedge. The boldness of God Almighty will take you into places that are so awesome. Get ready to do exploits. So, I do not despise the word of prophecy. I have shared what I believe is true. The purpose of it was to show you what is really happening in this country and around the world. It is the righteous judgment of God. And my prayer is that you, who have judged yourself and have trusted in Jesus Christ, he's taken your judgment already. This is not for you. God bless you. Please go to omegaradio.org. Please like this channel. Subscribe to it on YouTube. Thank you for your support of this ministry. And we'll let you go now. We'll see you tomorrow. Shalom and God bless.